Luke 16:8 says this: the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, using worldly wealth shrewdly. Father, we thank you for this time together. God, I pray that you'd help us to really understand what it is that you're communicating to us. Help me to teach it accurately, God. Give us open hearts and ears to hear it, understand it, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. I'm going to start with the same three things I start with every week. What are the three things I always want to tell you? What's the first one? I'm not trying to get money from you. God's trying to get money to you, right? Number two, we don't serve money. Money serves us. Money is a tool that God uses to do his kingdom's work. And we are blessed in order to be a blessing. That's what God wants. We are conduits through which God wants to flow. So keeping those things in mind, God wants us to understand how to handle, how to use our finances. And so we're going to look at this here this morning. Let me go back and read verse 8 again. I'm also going to read verse 9, and we're going to start to break this down. It says, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, I got a question for you. How many of you have ever read this passage and kind of thought, man, that seems kind of weird, man? God is commending this manager for doing something. As we read on in the parable, he's commending him for doing something that seems dishonest. Has anybody ever thought that? If you haven't thought that, then you apparently have never read it, okay? Because that's what it sounds like. But we're going to deal with that. God is not commending him for that, and we'll deal with that, like I said. Jesus, though, is talking about being wise in the way that we use our finances. He uses the word here, shrewd. The word shrewd has several different uses in the New Testament. In the Greek, it can be used, as it is in this manner, to be astute, to be sharp, to be practical in the way we use it. But it also can be used to mean to be cunning or tricky or selfish. So this word is translated that way, shrewd. And he's commending him for being shrewd. In this way, he's being a little bit tricky, but he's also being wise. He's being practical in the way that he's handling this money. And Jesus is commending him for that in this parable. He's also calling him a manager, which the word manager in the Greek also is translated steward. So when he calls him a manager, it says he was a dishonest manager, but he was being a steward of this man's finances. So we are, he is an employee. Just because he's a manager, he's still an employee of someone else. Employees are stewards of the people that employ them. It should be our job to do a good job for our employer as good stewards and make sure that we put forth a good product, a good service, whatever it is. And of course, it is the employer's responsibility to compensate the employee for being, hopefully, a good steward of those things. And if we do it wisely, we're going to think of that in a long-term basis. So I want to go back, just lay that little bit of foundation, but I want to go back and I want to break this parable down. And there's no way I'm going to get through everything I have prepared to teach today, so there's probably going to be a part two to this. But let's go back to Luke 16, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read through the whole parable, so I apologize in advance, but I need to do it. I want to do it and keep it in context, and we'll begin to break it down. Luke 16, verse 1 says, Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. Well, that wouldn't be a good manager, right? So he called him in and he asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I will do. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, set down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because of how he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with a very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling the worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Do you hear that? So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So the first mistake, starting here in verses 1 and 2, that I think people make when they read this, is that when they think this, they think that the manager, when his employer, the master, comes in and says, you know, you've been shrewd, they think that he got to keep his job. Now, it's my opinion, I don't know if I can prove this, that he still did not get to keep his job, because it starts off by saying what? You can't work here anymore. Just because you did something shrewd doesn't mean you can continue to work here, because you haven't been, as we read later on, you haven't been trustworthy with the things that you have. So you're not going to get more. So I don't really believe that he was able to keep his job when the master told him you can't work here any longer. But we go on in verses 3 and 4, the manager knows he's going to lose his job, right? So he's going to take action. Now here is the critical. This is to me the key to this whole passage is verse 8. And I'm going to explain to you why. Let me read it again. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. Jesus is not commending this manager for doing something which seems a little bit iffy, a little bit dicey. He's saying, though, in a worldly context, he did something wise in the world. Because what does he say? This is really critical. Are you with me? What does he say? The people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind. And then it's a separate thing. Then are the people of light. He's saying worldly people are more wise in how they deal with other worldly people than are people of God dealing with people of God or godly things. Do you see the difference? So he's not commending a dishonest manager. He's just saying, I wish you were this wise in operating within the kingdom of God. Sometimes, you know, I think God thinks, man, these people, I'm not pleased with the world, but at least they're making an effort, okay? Sometimes I wonder if we do that. So I believe that as we go on, we read this. How many of you interpret this? I'm just curious. He says, I owe 1,000 gallons of olive oil. We'll make it, what's it say, 500? Make it 500. How many of you assume we read that and I think a lot of people's initial thought is, well, he's taking a loss, but he's at least getting something. Is that what it sounds like? It sounds like I should be getting it. But I don't, this is my, again, we're in the realm of Randy's opinion. I don't think that's what's happening. Nobody loans $1,000 and says, in a year, I get $1,000 back. What do we say? You'll owe me $1,200. You'll owe me $1,300. We do it with interest. Otherwise, there's no point in doing it, right? There has to be something in it for me. I need to gain something. So I think it's quite possible that he may have given this man 400 gallons of oil and he was going to owe him 1,000, but I'm going to tell you, you only owe me 500, I still make 100. Does that make sense? Now, I can't prove that, but I also don't think God is dumb, all right? So he's not going to give us a parable that would, he's not going to give these people a parable that would have made no sense to them and taught a lesson that, for had them to get a lesson that he didn't want to communicate to them. So that's what I think is going on here. That's my opinion. I don't think he caused the master to take a loss. The master still did not basically have him sent off to prison or whatever, because he still did a shrewd, wise thing. And that's what he's being complimented for. He knew how to use worldly wealth to set himself up. He not only satisfied, because why? I don't believe the manager kept his job. The master said, you can't work here anymore. But he did something that allowed the manager to not prosecute him, if you will, in today's terminology. And at the same time, the people that he dealt with, he stayed in their good graces too. He was shrewd enough to be in both of their good graces, the manager and the people that he dealt with. Hello? Are you with me? And Jesus commends him and says, we should be that shrewd in dealing with our with the kingdom of God. We should be shrewd too. And shrewdness to me says things like, well, what would shrewdness be? Whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted with much. Hello? Would you like much or would you like a little? Which would you prefer? You can respond. I'm not talking at you. I want to talk to you. Do you prefer much or a little? You prefer much. Well, then what should you do? You can read, right? Then you should be trusted with a little so that you can be trusted with much. That's how he wants us to be shrewd. And so when we give, it will be given back to us, good measure, shaken down, pressed together, running over. There's all these principles. The Bible is full of... I don't know this to be true. Who is it that we check with? Usher. Who is that? Ernst. I haven't checked this with Ernst. Okay? But I think that the Bible uses money in more parables than anything else. Money. Christians love to run around and say, oh, in fact, I heard it misquoted just this week, that money is the root of all evil. No. The love of money is the root of all evil. But we have this attitude that we just don't want to talk about money. In fact, here's a test for you. When a Christian wants to speak negatively about money, they don't say money, they say what? Wealth, maybe, but it starts with an M. Mammon. Oh, we don't want to deal with mammon. I don't know why. That's like got this negative connotation to it. But we call it the Christian church refers to it that way all the time because it has a negative view of it. I got news for you. Do you think God wants us to meet here today? Did mammon put a roof over our head so we can gather here today? Did mammon buy these chairs so you can sit in them today? Does mammon pay the electric bill and the gas bill and all that? How many of you connected to the Wi-Fi in here since you've been here this morning on your phones? Mammon allows you to have Wi-Fi. It is not, money is a tool. It's not, we're not serving it, it's serving us. And that's what God wants us to be shrewd, to cause it to serve us, not get turned around to where we're serving it. Be shrewd and make sure that it serves you. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I mean, this is what the Bible says, right? He sets himself up with the people. He reduces what they owe. He puts himself in favor with his master because he gets something. I think he gets a little bit of profit, not as much profit as maybe as the master would have liked, but he gets something. He also puts himself in favor with the people that owed it. And so it says, though, that he would be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So this isn't just simply about the things of this world. This calls the manager, I want to make sure I get it right. In some translation, verse 8 says the master commended the dishonest manager. I don't know that it means, it doesn't seem to me to mean dishonest in the way that we think of dishonest. He wasn't embezzling money. He wasn't stealing money. He wasn't dishonest in that way. He just wasn't being a good steward. He was allowing accounts to go unpaid when they should have been paid. He was, I'll tell you, again, I believe the Bible is correct, but I don't know that this English word of translation of the Greek word is the best word. He was a lazy manager. He wasn't staying on top of it, doing what he should. He wasn't dishonest. He just wasn't doing his job. Okay? That's why I say we're all stewards of our employers, and we should do a good job, and we should make sure that we're doing our best. Verse 10 through 13, this is really interesting. Was the manager trustworthy? No. Right? Because he wasn't staying up on his job. Will he be given more because of that? No, because he was told he couldn't even work there any longer. Was he trustworthy with worldly wealth? No. Will he be given more riches? No. Was he trustworthy with someone else's property? No. Will he be given his own? No, not according to this. But he got in trouble because he was trying to do what? In verse 13, serve two masters. Serve two masters. Now, in verse 9, this is what's really going to challenge us, and we're going to go on from here. It says, Jesus does not say to use worldly wealth so that people on earth will like you. He said to use it so that you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Let's go back to verse 8. The people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. He's not saying you should do what this man did and that's going to get you into eternal dwellings. He's saying be shrewd within the kingdom of God so that you are welcomed into eternal dwellings. We are going to give an account whether or not we were shrewd in handling the wealth, the money, the finances, mammon that is a tool to the kingdom of God. There are no Gideon Bibles purchased and 90 million of them distributed without money. It is a tool. Money is a tool to send the gospel around the world. Are you telling me we shouldn't send the gospel around the world? Are you telling me we shouldn't buy Bibles and distribute them to people when we're told within God's word itself? And as Mr. Esser said, Isaiah 55, 51, is it? 11, that it won't return void. That's being shrewd. I'm shrewd. I want to be a part of doing this. I want to be a part of this because you know what? This seed grows and it produces so much more and I get to be a part of it. I benefit from it too. I want to be shrewd. I want to take what God has blessed me with and I want to use it to produce more. Because if I'm trustworthy with this little bit, then what is going to happen? I'm going to get more. And then when I use that and I do with it what God wants me to, what's he going to say? Oh, Randy can be trusted. And since he can be trusted to do with it what I want him to do, I'm going to give him more. Be shrewd in using the tool of finances that I give you And when you do that, I know that you have a, what's the word I've been using for a month? Kingdom priority. If you are shrewd with using the tool of finances and use it the way I want you to, you're showing me that you are wise and having a kingdom priority. Hello? And if you have a kingdom priority, I will bring you what? Heavenly prosperity. Heavenly priority, earthly prosperity. You're going to have a kingdom priority. I'll bring you more earthly prosperity so that you can then use it to have a kingdom priority. The pagans chase after all of these things, right? I'm going to say this again. What things are the pagans chasing after? What does it say in Matthew 6:31 and 32? Food, clothing, shelter, all those things, right? The pagans, meaning non-Christians, the pagans chase after these things. Matthew's not saying it's bad, or Jesus isn't saying it's bad to have those things. The pagans chase after them. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll give you all of those things that the pagans chase after. So when I use wealth, money, mammon, shrewdly, I'm showing God that I have a heavenly priority. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm using the tool of finances that he's entrusted to me to do the kingdom's work. And when I do the kingdom's work, he will give me more. And when I'm doing the kingdom's work, if I'm putting heavenly priority first, what does that say? Is God going to welcome me into his kingdom, into heavenly dwellings? Of course. Because I'm putting his work above myself. I'm elevating the work of Christ on the cross and all that means above myself. If I do that, I'm going to be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, that doesn't save me, okay? Giving money to the church or wherever doesn't save me. It, however, does demonstrate that I'm acting in faith because I am saved. Because I recognize that Jesus died for my sins, paid the price, rose from the dead to give me new life. And because of that, by faith, I do what he tells me to do. And he tells me to be shrewd in the using of my finances. And when I do, I demonstrate that I have a heavenly priority. And when I do that, he will give me more so I can do it more. Again, I do it more, he gives more, I do it more. And I'm welcomed into the kingdom of eternal dwellings, as it says, because I've demonstrated that I am acting upon my salvation in obedience to what Jesus has told me. I guess I'm just curious. I've been teaching on, I did a sermon on prospering in your soul. I called it probably the most important sermon I've ever preached in 35 years, 36 years now. I mean, so I've been preaching on this a while. Did you know there was so much in the Bible about money? Kathy did. And I know she does. This is good stuff. It's okay to preach this. You know, my opinion, my attitude is, if it's in the Bible, I can preach it. I'm really not that concerned whether it makes you that comfortable or not. Now, there are some things in the Bible that I don't preach. That's not because I can't preach them because they're in the Bible. It's because I don't understand them and I wouldn't be able to get up here and explain it. We had one of them in Sunday school this morning. It's like, I don't know how to explain this. So I'm never going to preach a sermon on this. If I ever figure it out, you'll know because then I'll preach on it. But there are some things in the Bible we just don't understand. This is really important. We want to downplay money, wealth, mammon, whatever you want to call it. We want to downplay it, and yet it's so critically important. I mean, I'm not making this up. I'm just reading the Bible to you, right? Does your Bibles not say, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much? It's not just my Bible that says that, right? I told you, I'm not even going to get through two pages. I got 6-7 pages of notes. I'm on page 2. Matthew 25. Verses 34 through 36, I'm going to jump to verse 30, then I'm going to jump to verse 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Verse 40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of the brothers of mine, you did for me. So when we use finances shrewdly, who are we really doing it for? Who does it say? We're doing it for the king. We're doing it for God. We're doing it for Jesus, right? Because he says, the king replied, if you do this for these, you're really doing it for me. Do you think God wants us to do it for him? Do you think that pleases him? And when we do it and we prove that we can be trusted, he'll let us do it more, right? So that's what he wants us to do. Let me see if I can. Okay, let me. I think I can make this point, and this may be a good place to stop. Let's go to Matthew 10, verses 16. If you're having a hard time, you know, explaining or understanding this, Christians being shrewd with money, maybe this will help. Matthew 10, 16. I am sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. So again, we see that we're to be shrewd. God understands, Jesus understands, he's sending us out there. We need to be shrewd in what we're doing as we go out into the world. Just because we are taught to be honest and we're taught to be trustworthy and innocent does not mean we are meant not to be able to discern what the world is up to and let them walk all over us. Just because we're taught to be innocent doesn't mean we're taught to be doormats. Hello? That we just get walked all over. In fact, he says just the opposite. Don't let them do that. Be shrewd. Yeah, go out there. And they're going to try to take advantage of you. They're going to try to trick you. They're going to try to, you know, maybe even destroy you. Don't let them do it. Be shrewd. If you're shrewd, then you won't be in that situation. Be shrewd. So let's illustrate with this. I'm reading on in Luke, where we were at in Luke. I stopped at verse 13. Let's go to Luke 16, starting in verse 14. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15, and I'm going to jump to verse 19. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your heart. What is highly valued among the men is detestable in God's sight." Verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus covered in sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "My son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony." So remember, Jesus said earlier in this passage that if we use worldly wealth shrewdly, we should make sure we do that, with our kind, we'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings, right? So now where's Lazarus? He's in eternal dwellings. Where's the rich man who lived in luxury? Where is he? He's in hell. He's in agony. What didn't he do? Did he have a lot? Yes. His problem wasn't in having a lot. His problem was in having a lot and not what? Using it shrewdly. Not having a heavenly priority, a kingdom priority. And it all goes back to God knows your heart. Verse 15. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your heart." God knows whether or not we are trying to serve two masters. He knows if we love money more than loving him. And that's what this man signified. The rich man signified that he loved his money more than he loved God. Because he didn't use his money shrewdly with others of the light, of the kingdom of God. He didn't use it. he used it in the world, probably. He used it shrewdly in the world and made more. He was shrewd with his own kind, but his kind shouldn't have been the world. His kind should have been the kingdom of God. And he didn't use it in that regard. So this is not simply saying that Lazarus' money, it was about his heart. I mean, this is a great example. And Jesus is chastising who? The Pharisees. What's it say? Verse 14, the Pharisees what? Who loved money. Isn't that what it is? Is it up there? The Pharisees, comma, who love money. I'm sorry, what's the root of all evil? The love of money? Who is Jesus always getting on their cases? The Pharisees? Because money, they didn't look at money serving the kingdom. They looked at them serving money. They wanted money. I'm going to... It's probably a good place to stop. I better make a note. If I don't mark where I stop, I'll just have to go back and preach it all over again next week. So, use worldly wealth shrewdly. What does that mean? Can I say it another way? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Whatever we do, with whatever it is that we have in our lives, first and foremost, we should make it available for the kingdom's use. Now, I'm now on week 6 or 7 teaching on this topic. What haven't I talked about yet? What's that one thing? What's that one word that always comes up in the church? Tithe. Okay, haven't talked about it yet. We won't get that to that probably for another 3 or 4 weeks yet, all right? It is a thing, though. But when I say, when we're talking about using worldly wealth shrewdly, it's taking whatever we have, financial, material wealth, and giving it to a kingdom priority. What does God want us to do with it? Now, some of it, you know what he wants you to do with some of your money? He wants you to pay your mortgage. He wants you to pay your electric bill and your heating. He wants you to do that. I'm not saying don't do it. And God, for God's sake, yes, he wants you to buy clothes. Okay? Yes, he wants you to do that. But he also, we need to find out what else he wants us to do with it. So we make it available to him. God, what do you want me to do with it? My worldly material wealth, material things. You know what they did in the New Testament with the disciple, with the apostles? It doesn't say they tithe. You know what it says? Basically, they made everything available to the apostles to use how they determined to use it, which is exactly what this is saying in saying having a heavenly priority. Let God direct us in what we do with it. He wants us to be shrewd. Shrewd simply means I'm smart enough to do what God wants me to do with it. Have a kingdom priority. Heavenly priority leads to earthly prosperity so that we can then give again. Blessed to be a blessing. We're a conduit through which God flows. We don't serve money. Money serves us. I'm not trying to get money from you. God's trying to get money to you. Use worldly wealth shrewdly.